Good afternoon. It's Deborah Penta, live from Penta Communications. And today we are celebrating International Women's Day with an all-star lineup of interviews for a three-part podcast series to mark Press for Progress 2018. In this segment of Top Growth, we will discuss the status of women in our region, especially with regards to both the progress we are making and the issues currently faced by women in our region. Joining me today for this conversation is Robin Kennedy, Associate Executive Director for the Mission and Community Impact Program at the YWCA of Central Massachusetts. For more than 125 years, the YWCA of Central Massachusetts has served as a lifelong positive force for women and girls, their families, and their communities. And by leveraging the reach, power, and passion of their members and supporters, they have created lasting change. The organization is dedicated to eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. They strive to be an all-inclusive women's advocacy and resource center with a proactive membership serving the diverse needs of women through leadership, service, and support. We are thrilled that Robin is here with us today, especially as we build greater awareness for the status of women in our community, in our region, and especially in alignment with our commitment to the United Nations to advocate women's rights, empowerment, and gender parity. Robin, who plays a vital role at the YWCA, was also a liaison to United Nations in 2017 for its work on the status of women. And many years ago, she served in the Peace Corps. Robin, it is such a pleasure to welcome you to Top Growth, and most especially as we press for change and collaborate on building greater awareness for women.
Thank you, Deborah. It's wonderful to be able to join you today, and happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day to you, too, and our listeners. You know, I'd love to open with a question about the compelling issues that you and your colleagues are seeing right now that are impacting women in our region. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you've seen and what's really going on out there right here in our community?
Absolutely. And thank you for this opportunity. It's very relevant that we're having this conversation on International Women's Day, which, as you and your viewers know, is a day in which we take a moment to reflect on the progress we've made and to continue to think through the needs that we continue to have to address to ensure gender equity and parity for all women, for every woman and girl in the future. And it's noting that, as you mentioned, the YWCA in Central Mass has over 125 years of work in our community here. And as we continue to reflect back and move forward, it's notable that much of the work that we're doing today to continue to serve women and girls is the work that we've been doing since our inception. YWCA Central Mass began as a housing program for women who were moving into the city to work in the mills and to work in the industries and didn't have a safe and appropriate place to live. So the YWCA really began as a safe space for women. And it continues today. One of our programs that we operate is a housing transitional housing program for 40 individual women, and to continue to support women as they're moving on in their life, as they're going to work, going to school, looking for opportunities for safety and stability.
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, it's a great point that you bring up and how you offer this great program to women in the community and in creating this safe environment, which, as you said, you've been doing for many, many years. And I know that the organization is really looking ahead and thinking about how you can even raise the bar with that, which we'll talk about later. But I think one of the things that has always stricken me is that in our region, it's very, very, the women that are not smack dab in the middle of some of the issues that are happening really don't know what's going on with respect to significant, difficult experiences that many women are having, whether it's through lack of skills, whether it's through difficulty trying to find employment, just for whatever reason, whether it's through domestic violence situations, which, you know, I think that's a topic all on its own because people feel that they're insulated in some of the communities in our region, but they're really not. And I heard some mind-blowing statistics, I think it was about a year ago, from one of your colleagues who gave a presentation. And so I think, you know, as we think about this whole movement and as we're looking to press for progress and build greater awareness overall, can you share with us, and especially, you know, our listeners out there who really are in some of these communities or maybe in their own safe spaces because they're economically, you know, they don't have to worry about anything at this moment. Just what's really happening out there right now with women and the difficulties that they're having?
Sure, sure. And as you mentioned, we know that different difficulties impact women across the spectrum in different ways. Unfortunately, what we do know, though, is that many issues that have, you know, for a long time through perception, but through fear, through pride, what have you, have been assumed to be things that only impact specific populations or specific individuals. As you mentioned, domestic violence being a perfect example. We do know that this does unfortunately impact all people, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation or economic status. And it's important that a lot of the work we do, in addition to providing direct service to support victims and survivors of domestic violence, which we are the sole or the DV provider in central Massachusetts, that we continue to raise that awareness and raise the awareness that it isn't unique to any particular community and that we're here to serve all communities. It's also important to note that there's also, and there has always been, different populations that face different barriers in attempting to seek safe situations or seek safety or support, even within our own programming. So we're constantly challenging ourselves to understand how we're not only providing direct services to specific individuals, but how, in line with our mission of eliminating racism, that we're consistently looking at our own services to make sure that we're part of dismantling systemic barriers, systemic racism, and other discrimination that continue to create more prohibition for families and individuals being able to access our support.
Exactly. And, you know, recently the World Economic Forum released their gender gap report, and there's the currently, especially today, the Press for Progress movement. And then most recently, in the last 12 months, we've seen the Me Too movement and then the Time's Up movement. And it almost seems like, you know, it's like a movement, a theme has to be, you know, packaged, you know, in order for people to really become aware of it. But your particular organization has numerous stories about women who come to you from all walks of life, and from all different kinds of situations, whether they're single, whether they're in a relationship trying to get out of the relationship, whether they're struggling because they really need to find employment, whether they're having difficulty, you know, with any kind of a social issue. And you're able to really provide the support through the phenomenal folks that you have there who are really expert and committed to bringing women from, you know, where they are to helping them get to that next stage in their lives so that they can eventually go on to be happy and feel empowered to have a life that they truly deserve and that they should have. And so I wonder, you know, are there any stories that come to mind for you, or even just if there isn't one particular story, if there's anything that resonates with you just based on all of your years of experience at the Y and just some of the things that have occurred that you might want to share to help our listeners understand that, you know, there are certain things that that happen if they themselves are struggling with something or they know someone who is, that they can guide them to find the resources to get help.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I would point to, you know, the YWCA that in addition to providing direct services to support women and girls, and, you know, we do serve men as well in many of our programs, such as domestic violence services, that we also offer a multitude of programming to be able to support everywhere, everything from our youngest residents in our early education and care programming, and we have sites in Worcester and in Westboro, all the way through our middle school and high school leadership development programming for young women, through adulthood and through different types of programming. As I mentioned, the transitional housing program that we offer here, our wellness and health equity program, where we're unique in while we have a gym and a pool, we're not only a gym and a pool. We also offer programming to be able to support women that are going through health challenges. We have one program called Encore that works particularly with breast cancer survivors that provides support and support and engagement through the treatment process, as well as access to our health and wellness center so that they can get physical health as they're going through treatment. And that all of our programming is connected to be able to really build and support the next generation of young female leaders, because that's so important that, you know, as I mentioned, we look back on International Women's Day and the success that's happened, but we need to continue to look forward. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, some of the major movements that are taking place right now, like Me Too, like Time's Up, is phenomenal, but it's also telling us that we're being assaulted on many levels in many different ways on a daily basis, and that in many ways we're at a point in time where our rights are being eroded, and that we're taking steps backwards, unfortunately. So as we talk about pressing for progress, it really does mean to be that we need to be diligent, to be able to move forward, to be able to continue to not only address the challenges we're facing on a day-to-day basis, but to be able to push for gender parity. And, you know, again, as I mentioned with our mission of eliminating racism and empowering women, that we are an intersectional organization that is looking at specifically what are we doing to dismantle those systems of racism that pervade our whole society. And again, because we're in that global community now, we see it.
Exactly, and it's so relevant, especially in, you know, if you just take Worcester as an example, with one of the largest immigrant populations in the country. I mean, that is just such an important facet of the work that you do, and there's so much necessary integration into our culture, and I love your, you know, your whole Women's Economic Empowerment Program, where you're providing the transitional housing, and you've got the Girls' Choice Program, in the Young Parent Program, and I was almost startled to read that 76% of the women and children that are served by YWCAs have incomes below the federal poverty level or less, and that you're really working to address the unique needs of living for so many of those living in poverty and striving for outcomes that increase their emotional and economic self-sufficiency. And people very often will think that the times have changed so much and we're in, you know, the 2018 and, you know, it's not such a need anymore, but it really is. And the fact that you're providing these economic empowerment programs really it does two things. One, it just obviously proves the necessity of it. And two, the fact that it's getting utilized so much, it means that there's a need and that you're doing a phenomenal job at communicating it. And I think the other part is to deliver the services at the highest level as to how you do it. There has to be support from the community, from the way of funding support and volunteerism to really bring it all full circle. So it's just, I find that the work that your organization does is just so holistic in looking at how to empower the lives of women and girls. It's really great.
Absolutely. And you touched on a great point that of how much we do rely on volunteerism. You mentioned in particular the Girls' Choice Program, and that's a young women's leadership development program where we really engage with young women in middle school, particularly those young women in the Worcester Public Schools who have been identified as at risk, who may or may not have some involvement already with the criminal justice system, and engage with them to be able to provide support to them both academically but also community support. And a big piece of that program is mentorship, and each of the girls in Girls' Choice are partnered with mentors from the community to help them address needs that they're experiencing, or even just to provide a trusted adult to be able to relate to and to be able to seek support from. So it's so important that we continue to partner with community members to make sure that we're supporting the young women and adult women that we're serving across the board.
Absolutely. And it just, girls, young girls need really strong female role models for so many reasons. I mean, it could be that some of them aren't fortunate enough to grow up in families where they have strong female role models in their families. And also from a professional aspiration standpoint, so many kids today, especially in the inner cities, might not believe in themselves and have the confidence to know that they can do and become anything that they want in life. They can do it. And so the value of integrating the young girls with these wonderful volunteers in the community is to show that you've got a loving, kind person who believes in you and has confidence in you. And of course, that's going to really just generate more confidence in themselves. And then to have that positive role model in that person encouraging a young girl that you can do and be anything that you wanted to be in life, and you can achieve anything that you want to. And I think that's just such a great, great program. I remember years ago when I had started FLIC and I was involved with Betsy Moquin over at one of your branches, and we took the Girls' Choice Program and did some things with it, with mentorship and trying to get female leaders in the community to talk with girls about giving back, and by giving back to them and giving of their time. And Erica Ebel, who is a former Miss Massachusetts, and she is a whiz in the from MIT, really sharing her experience with these girls. And you could just see that they were illuminated by having people spend time with them. And it starts there, doesn't it? It starts with the young girls and really having the taking the time to give back. And that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. And it's so important. I mean, the reality is we all need mentors in our lives, whether it's personally or professionally. We all look to find mentors to help support us, to help advance us, again, as I mentioned, professionally or you know, to support us in our personal lives. And, you know, the role of this program and much of the other work we do is, you know, we know so often with our privilege, we have more access to that type of support. And so programs like Girls' Choice helps to break down some of the barriers that create disparity within populations being able to, you know, as you mentioned, you know, low-income individuals from being able to access that same type of support that everyone needs in their lifetime. So it's right. So important as we are looking to, again, eliminate racism and empower all women, that it's something
exactly
to provide that support.
Exactly, and I really love the health and wellness component too of what you accomplish through your mission, and by providing that high quality health and wellness programs to those that may be disadvantaged in the community who wouldn't be able to have access to it, but giving them all sorts of really hearty wellness programs and fitness plans. And tell us a little bit about, you know, you have a theme going, which is the health and safety for all. call. And do you want to share anything with respect to that and how it relates to women and the benefits that it offers to women in our community?
Absolutely. So that theme is part of not only here at the YW of Central Mass, but we are very fortunate and uniquely positioned to be part of also a national movement and part of the national YWCA USA, which includes approximately 216 sister affiliations around the country, including 9 here, right here in Massachusetts. And that's part of the YWCA USA theme. And it really talks about the holistic approach to being able to support women and girls. So we want to ensure the health and safety for all women and girls, and whether that means supporting women who are fleeing domestic violence, whether that means supporting women who have experienced breast cancer and going through treatment or are in remission but need that continued support or have support to offer other women who are experiencing that, to being able to be a healthcare facility where between our pool and our fitness center, we have a place where women and girls and men, I will note that men are welcome to join as well, have access to improve the health of their lives. So it really is that holistic approach, whether it's a direct emergency response or response to a particular issue an individual is facing, or whether it's an opportunity to be able to address one's physical health, which, as we know, has incredible impacts on other areas of your life, we have that opportunity to provide here.
Yes, it's really terrific. And I want to touch upon a very exciting event that you have coming up, the Tribute to Women event, the Catherine F. Erskine Awards. And each year, the YWCA presents the Catherine S. Erskine Awards to recognize women who have demonstrated leadership and reached exemplary levels of achievement in their professions and their communities. And you do that, you recognize recipients in the 5 categories. And it's just a wonderful event. I have the privilege of chairing the Tribute to Women Committee for the past, I think it might be the past 5 years at this point. And it's just a great event bringing nearly 400 or more women together at Mechanics Hall on May 1st for a luncheon, really to honor women who are excellent, not only at what they do in their careers, but then they take it to that next step and they commit their own personal mission to eliminate racism, empower women, and promote peace, justice, and freedom and dignity for all through every single thing that they do in their lives. And year after year after year, I grow increasingly impressed by what these women are doing out there in their communities to shape change and create movement and to be trailblazers and to really make a difference for, really, to press for change. That's what these Erskines are doing. They are pressing for change every day. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and just maybe about how it got started and just what your thoughts are on this upcoming event that is going to take place on May 1st?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's certainly in line with International Women's Day, where it's so critical that we take a moment from time to time and acknowledge the incredible work that is happening. And as you mentioned, this event in particular is about acknowledging and highlighting women in our community who have gone above and beyond in their field and particularly have done so in line with our mission of eliminating racism and empowering women. You know, it's so easy in life to become part of a system and to continue to move forward. But these women are individuals who have been deliberate through their work, through their personal time and their personal efforts to be able to look at the systems that they're part of and make a positive contribution to the goals that are our mission. And it's really important, as you said, to be able to acknowledge this work that we're doing and use it as an opportunity to share what works in our community and how we're able to address the challenges that we talked about earlier that women are facing on a day-to-day basis. And that's so incredibly important for us to continue to do. And of course, that the award is honored and is named in memory of the late but great Catherine Erskine, who was, I think, spent her entire lifetime, but over 80 years involved with the YWCA here in Central Mass, who served and gave her time as a volunteer to support our organization and to support the mission of the organization. So it's incredibly important that we, you know, acknowledge and highlight the women through history or through our history who have really put themselves out there and really have taken that affirmative step forward to say, we're not going to continue a status quo. We're really going to do whatever we can with whatever skills we have to move the needle and to really empower every woman and girl.
Yeah, and what I love about this award so much is that, you know, there's some people, men or women, that because of their jobs, because of their professional careers, they do things that will make a difference in the community or in society. But this is honoring those women who not do this because of what they're doing for a living, but go above and beyond to take the skills and the knowledge and the in their time to craft pathways of success for other women and girls. And it's not what they do necessarily for work, but it's how they leverage their connections and how they leverage their strengths and how they, you know, pull things together that is not just part of what they do, it's just over the top, over and above. And I think that really, it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. And that's why I think this award is just so beautiful. It's so distinguished and it's very special and one of a kind in our region. And I think, you know, hopefully our listeners will, if they've never joined us for that particular event, that they do, because they're going to just be incredibly inspired just by the stories of these women who get up and speak about, you know, what they're doing to shape change and what they've done to make an impact on the community and what their journeys were to get to where they are.
Absolutely. And I'd be remiss if I didn't take this moment to also to thank you and to thank you as a volunteer and acknowledge that as well in terms of the work you've put into. Anyone that's ever run an event like this knows how time-consuming and the amount of work behind the scenes that goes into them. So, you know, we're so appreciative of you and your support to this event over the years. And as I mentioned earlier, the countless volunteers that support our organization and the women and children we serve on a daily basis.
Well, it's just so exciting, and I'm just going to give our listeners the website so that if they're interested in learning more about this event, that they can go there, and it's www.ywcacm.org, www.ywcacm.org, and they can search for the Tribute to Women event and purchase tickets. And before we close, and I know you've got to run off to a meeting, and I don't want to keep you from that, but I just want to, you've got an exciting capital campaign going on for an expansion, and do you want to just share with our listeners what that's all about? And we can certainly have you back to talk about that as it gets closer just by itself, but just to give them a little prelude as to what's going on with that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, as I mentioned, the YWCA Central Mass has a very long history in serving the Worcester and Central Mass communities, and we've had a physical presence here in downtown Worcester at our One Salem Square site since 1960, and as strong and sturdy as they built these buildings back in the day, it's time that it needs a little bit of love and a little bit of work. So after going through a strategic planning process about 5 years ago and completing it in 2015, we tested and approved a building renovation to really be able to bring the programs that we administer and the work that we do and the service that we provide to the next phase and into the future. So we are very excited that we will be renovating the entire building. We will, through the renovation, we will have some capacity to bring, or the opportunity, I should say, to bring in some additional capacity. We'll be bringing in additional rooms in our transitional housing program. We'll be able to expand our slots. We often have a waiting list in our early education and care center here, so we'll be able to expand some slots there, really provide state-of-the-art programming. In the renovation, we really thought forward in how we're delivering services, where there are some gaps, where there are some improvements that we can make. We're redesigning our domestic violence services area to provide more space to be able to provide either in one-on-one direct counseling and support or group counseling and support, also creating an individual separate entrance, which will be safe and secure and confidential for individuals that are looking to access the services, and really looking to create a more efficient and effective environment to be able to do the work that we do. So we're starting out our campaign. We're in somewhat of a quiet phase now, but I'm pleased to share that so far we've come out strong and we have raised over $3.3 million. So we're well on our way. And that includes support from staff and 100% support from our board, which is so incredibly important to acknowledge and thank the board members who not only give of their time and their consistent energy to our organization, but their financial support as well. And support from community members like you, Deborah, who has continued to find ways to support that work we're doing. And we anticipate publicly and formally launching the campaign later on this spring, early summer. And so we look forward to continuing to work with community members, to going out, to telling our story, to talking about the work that we're doing here in Central Mass, and finding the resources to make sure that we're able to do more and serve more.
Well, it's just outstanding, totally outstanding, and we can't wait to have you back on to talk about that. And as we close, I want to say, you know, thank you so very much for all of the work that you and your colleagues do at the YWCA and making such an incredible difference for women in our region. It's so appreciated, and thank you for helping us to build awareness about this important topic today. And we look forward to having you back on to talk about this campaign and other issues in the future.
Absolutely, look forward to it.
Thank you. All right.
Thank
well, we'll talk to you
today.
Soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.